Welcome back to another Daily Walk. Well, today we're going to talk a little bit about the latest newsletter from Moody Church Media. This is from autumn 2024. A political storm is upon us. We need an anchor is what he titles here. And this is a very apt newsletter as we are moving this autumn into the election, which many people are saying, some people are saying this one, depending on how this goes, could be the end of America as we know it. Of course, some people say that it will be the end of America as we know it if Trump gets in, and other people say it's going to be the end of America if Kamala gets in. And this is an interesting question in and of itself. But we have to remember that Erwin Lutzer is, he is originally from Canada in this country, but he has descendancy going back to Germany. And they have fled because of all of the things going on in World War II. So he goes back frequently and discusses and has a lot of books and sermons about the church in Germany during World War II as well. And this really ties in nicely as he has a new message that this newsletter is promoting on Christian nationalism. And you can download this message for free on the website. And I had a hard time finding it, searching, but I did find the link. I watched the messages. I will link that down below if you want to watch this. And he takes a really good approach on the idea and the concept of this controversial idea on Christian nationalism. But he delivers two of these messages that make up this sermon in Germany at the location. The first one was actually at the location where Hitler did all of his speeches from. You see the famous Hitler speeches. He did it at that park, that open air park where Hitler did all those speeches. And then he did the other one outside the courthouse, is I think that was in Nuremberg, outside the courthouse where the Nazi trials went on. And so it's a really interesting grouping of messages there. Of course, the most famous of the Christian leaders down that area was Bonhoeffer, who was a pacifist, but recognizing the things that Hitler was doing, got caught up in the resistance with a plot to assassinate Hitler, and he was hung for it in one of the concentration camps. So the newsletter, let's just flip through the newsletter first. He says, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a young theologian, found himself living in a Germany rife with riots, finger-pointing, and political strife brought on by widespread fear and conflict of every sort. Sounds like America to this day. And this is why we might want to research a little bit. And if we do research a little bit, I'm not like super pro-Trump. I'm not on the Trump hat, even though my mother did mistake this hat for a Trump hat. Texas Rangers, thank you. But that being said, if we look at the two political parties, the Democratic Party right now is doing the exact same things that Hitler did. That's not hyperbole. Look at what he did. Look at what they are doing. And it is an exact mirror image. Whereas Donald Trump's group is not pushing the anger, the hatred towards classes. That's what the Nazis did. They wanted to finger point and blame everything on these people, the Jewish people. And that's exactly what what we're seeing right now in the Democratic Party. They're pointing every problem. It's the evil right. It's those evil right people. It's those evil right people. Despite sitting here talking about the party of unity, it doesn't make any sense. But it's Bonhoeffer is recognizing the exact same things. He says, Germany's first attempt at democracy, the Weimar Republic established after World War I, was about to unravel. There's fear of communism with soup lines in Berlin and Munich. There was fear of starvation, open fighting in the streets increased, and the fears and anxiety even more. Indeed, we are seeing this. On January 15th, 1933, Bonhoeffer, speaking at the Trinity Church in Berlin, preached a sermon titled Overcoming Fear, and his text is Matthew 8:23-27. So we're going to go ahead and stop and read that text now. Of course, this is after the Sermon on the Mount. He's sending the crowds away, and then he ends up getting into the boat, and this is where they're on the Sea of Galilee and great storms are coming up. So it says here in the text, Matthew 8:23-27, he got into the boat, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so the boat was being covered with the waves, but Jesus himself was asleep. And they came to him and woke him, saying, "Save us, Lord, for we are perishing." He said to them, "Why are you afraid, you men of little faith?" He got up, rebuked the winds and the sea, and it became perfectly calm. And then the men were amazed and saying, "What kind of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" And so that is the message that he is delivering. And he talks about Jesus gets into the boat with his disciples. It wasn't long before a violent storm arose on the sea. It was so great that the boat was being swamped with the waves, but Jesus was asleep. Bonhoeffer made the point that storms always come as soon as Jesus gets in the boat. Remember, every time you turn to Christ, you're going to start seeing a lot of interesting spiritual things happening around you. It's very interesting. He said, "Fear is in the boat, all arms are frozen and drop their oars, all hope is lost." Fear is in the boat. His description of the fear is vivid. It crouches on people's hearts. It hollows out their insides until their resistance and strength are spent and they suddenly break down. Fear secretly gnaws and eats at the ties that bind a person to God and to others. And when it is a time of need, that person reaches to those ties and clings to them. They break and the individual sinks back into himself or herself, helpless and despairing, while hell rejoices. Fear, Bonhoeffer says, takes away a person's humanity. We need not to stir up the fear. We need to focus on the policy. We need to focus on the reality of our world without getting caught up into fear. Yeah, crazy things are happening all over the place. I don't have any fear about any of this. On top of all this, frankly, as I look around and see what's going on in the world, the reality is the things going on in the world are exactly what the Bible says is going to happen in the world as we approach the end times. So I know God's on the throne and he's got a plan. Now, will I die a martyr's death, or will I go peacefully, or will I be raptured up to heaven? I don't know. But I have to rest my hat and my hope on the finished work of Jesus on the cross. And that's what we should all do. And then we go on and we do the best that we can do. As a friend of mine often says, do the next right thing. So the disciples shouted, the disciples are surprised when Jesus' seeming indifference. They shout, "Save us, Lord, we are perishing." With Jesus awake, Bonhoeffer says, then is as if the heavens open, as if the heavenly hosts themselves raised a shout of victory in the midst of hopelessness. Christ is in the boat. Fear shrinks back and the waves subside. The sea becomes calm and the boat rests on a quiet surface. Christ is in the boat. And Christ is in the boat in America as well. So it says here, giant bee hovering around me there. Here in the United States, we are told each political election is the most important in our history. And forgive the repetition, Lutzer says, but I do believe that 2024 is indeed the most important election we've had in his lifetime. And given our economic, political, and national security, I sense, he says, fear is in the boat. No matter who wins or loses, we'll wake up on November 6th to a very divided country. Half of the population will be relieved, the other half deeply disappointed and possibly angry. We can expect rough winds and high seas, but let us remember that Jesus is with us in the boat. Bonhoeffer knew the assurances of Jesus are with us, and that meant, but that would not mean we would be spared suffering. We are not guaranteed a smooth journey. Nowhere in Scripture does it say we're going to experience a smooth journey. We are promised trials and tribulation as believers. We have to embrace that. And then he talks about his QA section, which some of their QA questions are really good. But here he talks about the sermon, which was delivered in Germany. And you can download that for free. Of course, if you're on his mailing list, you can get a DVD, or you can buy a DVD or a CD of it as well. But I'll provide a link where you can go off of his website and download it. But he comes down here and he addresses a few questions. He says, "I found it interesting you use Bonhoeffer, who urged us to believe Christ was with us in the boat, but wasn't he hanged for his opposition to Hitler?" You see, when we take strong stances for Christ and morality, we are going to see a great persecution. The Bible paints a picture. Matthew 24 and the parallel passages in the Synoptic Gospels and Revelation both point to a situation as as well as several other places in the scriptures, it all points a very clear picture. The Christians are going to be persecuted for doing the things a Christian is supposed to do. We can't turn away from that. That's what we're doing. But yes, despite being a pacifist, Bonhoeffer wanted to get involved in a plot to assassinate Hitler, and he was hanged for that at Flossenbürg concentration camp. He says, although Christ is with us in the boat, this doesn't mean we'll have a smooth sailing, and isn't it possible our boat might get dashed into pieces? Yes. Okay. Christ is with us in our boat, to be sure, but we must put biblical truth in a larger perspective. In the same sermon, Bonhoeffer said, quote, "This world must fall, but God stands above all, his thoughts unswayed, his word unstayed, his will forever, our ground and hope. Let me emphasize that even though Christ is with us, there is no guarantee we'll be kept from suffering, despair, and death. But as I already emphasized, it does not mean that we will arrive safely on that distant shore." I think I missed where the quotation ends. The quotation ends at his word unstayed and we will forever our ground and hope. That's where it ends. And so what do we do with the elections? Well, we have to look at the elections and we have to vote for the person who best aligns. They're both flawed candidates. We have to vote for the person who best aligns with true biblical reality. We have to read and understand our scriptures. And I will encourage you, you have only a couple of short months now before the election. If you've not read your scriptures, spend some time, read the Gospels, at least one of them, read the epistles, look at what the scriptures teach, and then look at the platforms of each of the candidates and vote for the one which best aligns with Christianity, assuming, of course, you are a Christian. And that is what our message is today. If you're not on their newsletter, you can actually go get over moodymedia.org. You can get on their mailing list. They'll send these to you. They'll also send you sermons and books throughout the year as well. He has some pretty good teaching, of course, as evidenced by I do frequently read his newsletters on these. So with that, though, we'll leave the link to that message. Of course, you can also have a look over at my website, ourwalkingchrist.com, where I have books available for sale over there. With that, thanks for watching and hope that you enjoy your daily walk in our Lord.
Thank you for tuning in. Our Walk in Christ podcast is a listener-supported presentation. For more information about how you can help, check out ourwalkingchrist.com/support or our Patreon page at patreon.com/TomM. That's TOMM. Digital and paperback books are available on several online bookstores or at our website. Once again, the website is ourwalkinchrist.com.